Well, thank you for having me. I believe that there's been a lot of information put out and a lot of misinformation, however you want to call it, also about regarding this pandemic. And as a frontline medical worker, I started treating COVID at the very beginning of the pandemic. I worked in an urgent care, and at the time that all of this began, I felt like this was my duty to know everything that was going on, to read everything that was coming out, and to be ready to help people, because that's why I do what I do. I want to help people. And so when this all happened, I don't think people necessarily knew that all of a sudden we shut down, basically, even in the health industry. So we went from seeing around 100 to 110 patients a day that first week, first couple weeks of March of 2020, to seeing about 20. No one came into the urgent care unless they were very, very sick, had a bone sticking out, fell down, you know, kind of problem. No one came in if they didn't have to, or unless they thought they had COVID. And after being told for a couple weeks that we don't have tests for you, we have no way to know if you have COVID or not. And even if we did have a test, we are not giving it to you because we have three tests all day and you're not at risk. And so people just stopped coming in. I, therefore, had time to sit and read. And I did that. I read as much as I could. I read about SARS-CoV-1, which the SARS-CoV-2 virus is over 90% similar to genetically. And so I read all I could find about that. I read about what happened with the vaccinations that they tried to develop against it. I read about the treatments that they had against it. I read everything that I could get my hands on. As things were coming out over the next couple of years, any kind of treatments that were coming out, any kind of therapeutics, anything that was going on, I read everything. I had time to sit and simmer and really take a good, unbiased look at what was out there. And in the spring of this year, last year, about a year ago, really good information started coming out from around the world. Around the world, people were looking at medications that were cheap, efficient, and safe. And there was very good information coming out of India, Indonesia, Argentina, Brazil, and Japan about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And I felt at that point that I could no longer just sit by and say, hey, if your lips turn blue, go to the emergency room. There's nothing I can do for you. Go with God. And I had said that over and over to patients that came in, were diagnosed. I was sending people for the monoclonal antibody therapies, but often it was not enough. People were doing poorly. We live in a community where there's lots of elderly people. And so I finally realized that we had plenty of evidence, you know, stacks. Almost at that time, there was around 50 good research studies, randomized controlled double-blind studies. These are the standard medical studies regarding ivermectin hydroxychloroquine. And so we started prescribing it in our urgent care, myself and one of the other doctors. We knew this was not like, it was not overtly stated, you can't do it. It was also not overtly stated, hey, what are you guys finding? Be sure, get out there, treat people. And so we knew we were kind of maybe pushing a boundary. So two of our four providers decided to treat, the other two did not. And both of them stated they did not because of that overt, covert, you know, disapproval from our higher ups. I will tell you, never in my life has anyone above me in administration, any other doctor, provider that I don't directly work with, ever tried to influence how I have treated patients. Ever. Let that sink in. Never. It's unheard of. Never has news media played into how we treated our patients. Never. We have based what we do on science, on data, on research, on developments. And a doctor who I highly recommend, Dr. Peter McCullough, stated that this was our Super Bowl. This was medicine's time to come and to step up and to say, what can we do? How can we help? And we didn't do it. Politics, I don't know. I don't have an explanation. My pea brain cannot grasp why we weren't out there leading the charge, coming up with ways to treat this medicine or to treat this disease from the get-go. I can't explain it. I can only think of nefarious things. Mm-hmm. So in spite of the fact that I knew that this was not necessarily cheerleaded, I went ahead and started treating people. And it wasn't very long before I started receiving bouquets of flowers, gift cards, candy, baked goods from people stating, "You saved my mom's life. You saved my dad's life. You saved my husband's life." They could tell immediately that they were getting better. I also had the nurse at the hospital where I sent my patients for monoclonal antibody treatment call me and say, "Hey, whatever you're doing," she's like, "Well, I know what you're doing. It's working. Only your patients are doing well." When the patients come in to have their monoclonal antibody treatments, they are not sure they even need them. They're already feeling better. They've had to wait a few days to get in because of so many people being sick. And by then, they're already feeling better. No one else is. No one else's patients are doing this well. Keep up the good work. That was the exact week that I was told to cease and desist in those exact words. You may not prescribe these medications. And I said, of course, I'm concerned for my patients. Has there been an injury? Has there been a patient complaint? Has there been a patient go to the emergency room? Has there been a side effect? Anything? No. They were honest with me and told me no. No patients, no problems, no emergency rooms, no side effect of medication, no toxicity. And I was told that the doctors don't like it, meaning the primary care providers in the community. As far as I know, that was one person, one single person who went over my head, did not speak to me, went over my head to the director, the medical director, and spoke to him and complained and stated that we were making the whole organization look bad in the community. And because of this, we were asked not to prescribe because of their image in the community. So basically, they gave me a choice. They were going to take me off the schedule, and they weren't going to fire me. They were just going to take me off the schedule if I did not comply. So I wrote a resignation letter and simply stated that I believe that my actions are life-saving and that I would not comply with their request, because if we couldn't agree on the most basic tenet that my job is to save lives, then I did not want to work for them. And I told them that was not a difficult decision. So I was asked not to come back. They paid me out my 30 days and I opened my own practice, where I am the boss and I can do whatever I want because no one's going to tell me what to do. I have subsequently gone on to treat over 1,000 people for COVID. I have no deaths. None. There is no exception. And I don't take credit for that. That is God's work. Yes. Yes. That is the work of all of the people much, much smarter than me who look at these drugs, who already knew that there were drugs out there that had antiviral properties. Hydroxychloroquine with its antimalarial properties, that's a virus. Ivermectin with its antiviral properties. Why we've never tried these things for this before, I don't know, besides, you know, the common cold. It's annoying, but it's not killing people. So I guess that's why this hasn't happened. But the smarter people out there that already knew the drugs to try, who already knew that these were excessively safe drugs, they call these drugs Sunday Sunday drug. Hydroxychloroquine is called Sunday Sunday in Africa because it's like, well, you take it on Sunday, you're probably going to need it again on Sunday. And it's to prevent malaria. And these drugs are available over the counter in 69 countries. They are safe enough for people to decide how much they take, how often, for how long, and for what purpose. And I believe that we Americans are smart enough to do that as well. And so what I'm doing is just giving people the ability to do that for themselves as well. And so God has blessed that. I'm super excited that I've been able to help out a few people at your church as well. again, awesome. Everyone gets better. It's amazing. I've helped people in the hospital. You know, God has just opened doors to allow people to have their eyes opened that there is something that you can do. I don't know what else to say. Besides, you know, I give him all the glory. I'm just a humble nurse practitioner, I don't claim to be super smart, but I can tell you that if you look for information, you will find it. You will find plenty of information. The CDC says that there's not enough information on ivermectin. We'll just pick on that one for now. There's not enough information on ivermectin to make a decision about whether it's good or bad. I will tell you there's approaching 200 studies currently about ivermectin. So if you know you stack them up, they're probably that thick. The drug that the FDA did approve emergency authorization use, remdesivir. Do you want to know how many studies that there were on remdesivir before it was approved? Anybody want to guess? One is a pretty good guess. Five. So five was enough information to approve a brand new drug that had previously been known to cause kidney failure in 50% of the people given it. Five studies was enough, but 50-some studies at the time when I was fired, basically, was not enough information. So you tell me, will there ever be enough information on ivermectin? It's political.
And
oh, sure. So backing up to when I was reading about vaccination and what was done with SARS-CoV-1, quickly I jumped on the most prestigious and relied upon database that most providers often rely on called UpToDate. I pay a service fee to utilize this. If I wanted to look up something about Lewy body disease that I'd never heard about, my patient came in and said, hey, I have Lewy body disease. I'm like, I never heard of that. Let me look that up. I would go there because I know that has the most up-to-date information put in by specialists who treat this every day. I don't have to double, triple source something. I know I can rely on this information. So when COVID first came out, this is where I got a lot of my information about SARS-CoV-1. And I read about the studies that involved the vaccinations. So what happened, they developed these vaccines, they gave them to the animals, these never made it to people trials, they gave the vaccines to animals, the animals did fine, tolerated the vaccines well, and then when they were exposed to the what they call wild type or the actual disease, all of the animals died, 100%. Mm-hmm. So I read this and I was like, well, we are not having a vaccine like this. This is not going to happen. So when the vaccine started rolling out, I was concerned. Vaccines normally don't get FDA approval. I don't know if you know this. They don't get FDA approval until you have 3, 5, and 7 year data. Mm-hmm. You must know the long-term side effects. We don't have that. We don't have any of that. Not 3, not 5, not 7 year. We don't know what will happen 3, 5, or 7 years down the road with a single dose, let alone 3. We don't know. We just don't know. It could be fine. We don't know. So I respect anyone's right to say, I want to get the vaccine. I want to be safe. That is your right. You have the right to look at the information and see what you can find. I personally was not happy with that after reading that 100% of the animals died. So we don't know what will happen with the vaccines. We don't know what the long-term effects are of the vaccines. What I will tell you about the current vaccines is that they are still programmed for the initial variant, Alpha, what we call Alpha now. And so that spike protein has undergone now multiple variants and no longer resembles much of a spike. It's actually come down and actually changed shape. It's much more rounded. It's shorter. And so it doesn't make sense to me, again, a pea brain, to be using a vaccine for a variant that we haven't seen in over a year. So we're still giving that vaccine. That's still the one that is mandated. That's still the one that your healthcare workers are required to get by March 15th. We also know that as the body continues to receive doses, that the body will receive this spike protein that from Alpha, and the body then sorts it. And it says, oh, this is important. And it looks at other proteins out there and that you get exposed to it. It says not important, and it down regulates your body against those. And so only this is important. And then you get a second dose. Oh, your body is reinforced. Oh, super important protein. Focus here, down regulate that. So we've seen a lot of illness. I've had a lot of patients who got vaccinated who have said, I have never been so sick. I catch everything. I got vaccinated. Now I catch everything. I've been sick, sick, sick since I've been vaccinated. And you can see that down regulation of the immune system to the other proteins from other viruses. So other viruses are just not being recognized and your immune system is just not handling it like it normally would. So then you can imagine a third dose, same thing. Downregulation, downregulation, downregulation. And now we're starting to see in some of the most highly immunized countries, such as Israel and Australia and New Zealand, we're seeing people being diagnosed with what they're calling HIV. Now, they're not sexually acquiring the retrovirus. What's happening is when we diagnose HIV, it's diagnosed based on your immune function. So we know that the only thing that causes such profound immune dysfunction is the virus that's been sexually transmitted as HIV. But instead, what we're finding is people having the same symptoms of HIV with the immune suppression, which is only being found in the vaccinated population. Not people who've had COVID, only the vaccinated population. So that down regulation, that constant representation of the spike protein that constantly, again and again and again, is down regulating the immune system to all other viruses and all other, you know, bacterial problems and, you know, other types of things that our immune systems would normally take care of. Therefore, I cannot in good conscience recommend to people to receive this vaccine. Again, we don't know in 3, 5, or 7 years what's going to happen. That's probably the strongest I've ever worded that. But I just can't be quiet about it anymore. I can't continue to watch people, you know, before I was like, listen, if you want to get vaccinated, that's your business. If you're worried, you know, if you think it'll make you feel better, go right ahead. But now I can't even do that because it's just false. Everything about it, what they're telling us the vaccine will do is just known to be false and will be proved out in time. Another doctor I greatly respect made a statement that I agree with so much. It says, the truth is a lion and it does not need to be defended. Set it free and it will defend itself. And that is exactly what's happening with this. The truth is going to come out. The truth comes out a little more every day. There was a recent study that compared head-to-head ivermectin and remdesivir. This just came out in the Epoch Times within this week. 5 to 7% lower death rate in the ivermectin group versus the remdesivir group. So it's just a matter of time. And this is from the University of Miami. You know, this is coming out. It will all come out. And so I know that truth is there. It can't be hidden. It can't be hidden under a lamp. It is a lion and it will defend itself. So stand firm. I am available for questions. I'm happy to give you my email address. I'd love to chat like nonstop about this. And so if you have questions and would like to email them to me, then I would love to engage you that way. My husband's mouthing something to me.
Make sure they know.
Oh, and then you can always go to my website, check me out at libertyfirsthealth.com, Liberty First Health. Again, my heart is for people to have the treatment that they choose for themselves. This is the country we used to live in. Patients would come into my exam room and we would discuss what was wrong with them and we would agree on a treatment plan. And that's still how I practice medicine. And regardless of whether some entity likes it or doesn't like it, or if it makes someone look bad in the community, I'm going to do what's best for my patients regardless. Thank you for your time.